everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing the show. Tom, good to have you back.
Good to be back.
You were not with us last Friday, as you've been fighting off really a cold that started in January and never went away.
Apparently, I got rid of it in January. It was something that everybody had to contend with.
Right.
And then I took a quick trip up to Oregon for a little family get-together up there and found it again up there.
Oh, there it is. So it's back. Well, anyway.
The Northwest version.
We are glad Tom's back, and it is Friday, April 15th, which is traditionally tax day. But this year, Dylan Smith, everybody gets a break.
And I might get started on that. I don't know.
You haven't gotten
Sunday evening.
Monday
is tax day this year, so probably Monday around 6 p.m.
I'll
fire up TurboTax.
There you go.
Get that rolling.
We are live on the Buckmaster Show, noon to one on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. We're streaming and podcasting the show from anywhere in the world. If you are near a computer, you can hear the Buckmaster Show at buckmastershow.com and, of course, kvoi.com. Our media partners, speaking of Dylan Smith and TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan, thank you for your support.
Absolutely. Thank you for yours.
Inside Tucson Business supports us, as does the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and Emil Franzi's publication online, Southern Arizona News Examiner. The Friday Focus interview today, Michael McDonnell is with us. Mr. McDonnell, the President and Chief Operating Officer for the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. He's been in that position for 2 years, came over to the food bank after 10 years serving as head of Habitat for Humanity. Mr. McDonnell, Michael, good to see you.
Good to be here, Bill. Thank you.
The food bank provides food and food-related services throughout a huge region, probably bigger, Michael, than some states.
Bigger than West Virginia, 23,000 square miles, 5 counties in southern Arizona.
Yeah, Pima, Cochise, Graham, Greenlee, and Santa Cruz counties. The community food bank distributes over 63,000 meals a day to members of our community, and with the support, there are a lot of local agencies that are involved, 300 nonprofit agencies?
Yes, and just 80 alone in Tucson, Metro Tucson. So it's a big endeavor. It's an ecosystem, a network of providers, neighbors helping neighbors.
So it's really, when you add it up, over the year, it's about 250,000 people that are getting food assistance and food-related projects. Again, Dylan Smith is here. Dylan is editor and publisher of the TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. If you have a question or comment during our discussion, please feel free to give us a call. Our Buckmaster Show live line is open at 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, so that's easy to remember. And Twitter, we do at Buckmaster Show. Dylan, again, good to see you. Thank you for coming in.
You betcha.
You will be sitting in my chair in a few weeks when I take off for vacation. So take notes.
How to run a radio program and do it right.
There you go. Michael, it is good to see you. And 2 years at the helm of the food bank, it's a challenging time for really any nonprofit. And you guys have a huge mission. And there's been some talk. The city, of course, everyone knows the city's got a sea of red ink to deal with before they must balance the budget before the end of the fiscal year. How does the community food bank play into that?
Certainly. You know, most of our support, we're serving, as you said, Bill, about 250,000 people a year, unique individuals. It's a function of poverty. It's a function of underemployment. Most of our folks, about 60% of the families we serve, are working poor. They have jobs. They often have multiple jobs, and they're the best budgeteers out there on the planet. They know how to stretch a buck. Unfortunately, you make choices between the rent, utilities, prescription medicine, if you're an elder, or just watering down food or going without meals. And so it's a huge issue. While some segments of our economy are getting better, others are not, especially our most vulnerable neighbors in need. And we understand, we're not waiting for a government bailout. We never have. You know, most of our funding, the overwhelming majority, is from philanthropy. It's from donations, charitable giving from individuals, businesses, including retail grocery stores who give us almost all of our food besides our community food drives, and faith communities. So we do know that the city of Tucson is a big supporter of human services, and there are 93,600 city residents this month who are going to pick up food assistance at our facility and at 80 partnering agencies. And the city, most of their money is federal pass-through. We don't expect a lot from the general fund because they got to balance that budget and do the basics, you know, fire and police and parks and just public safety. They're giving us about 3 cents a day, every day for a year for those 93,600 residents. And then we're putting in about $1.03. That the community, when I say we're putting in, as the community, if you add up all what everyone's giving in terms of charity, so we are really blowing it out of the water in terms of community support for basic needs, safety net needs. The city spends about 3%, so or 3 cents. And so this year they were looking at a 30% cutback on that 3 cents, and that's going to hurt. I think they're trying to figure out how to keep it going. It's again a decision about how do you spend federal investment in Southern Arizona.
Overall, the budget is about $13 million for the Community Food Bank. So your overall government assistance is a small piece of the pie, I think about 15%.
It is. It's a critical piece because what we use government funding for is when we don't get donated food at certain times of the year, produce. You know, we're really on a kick to improve people's diet and improve their diet-related disease management since so many folks have diabetes, hypertension, obesity, you name it, we're suffering from it. So we use government's money to buy food in those really lean times of the year, especially summer when lots of kids are out of school and they're not getting free and reduced breakfast and lunch.
Dear Dylan Smith.
Something that just popped into my head listening to you just now. Certainly the packaged processed foods that have a long-term shelf life that you can have sitting around are probably among the worst for people to be eating all of the time. You know, it's going to be part of your diet. That's a logistically easy thing for you guys to do, but probably fresh food is ever so much better for them. Long-term, improving the quality of people's lives by making them healthier, by getting them better nutrition, will probably, I would think, increase their ability to hold a better job, to improve their lives in other ways. Am I spinning a little too far?
No. It's so true. We're trying to really reach out to healthcare, and we've got some partnerships that are forming because the cost of healthcare in this country and at our businesses it's killing us, right? And so that ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure, we know that we get so many donated food products from the community, from grocery stores. A lot of it is non-perishable, maybe not the best quality, as you suggested, Dylan. It curbs people's hunger. Yeah. So that's a good thing. They're struggling with that hunger, but not necessarily improving their diet. So we're transporting about 8 million pounds of produce every year, fresh produce, in our 5-county service area. So that's huge. We're focused on that. We're also focused on helping people learn how to grow food. And it's been done for millennia in the Southwest. So good water conservation, good soil prep. And we've got a couple hundred community gardens out there right now, 50 school gardens. We have a farm. We've got linkages to local farmers. Many of them are low-income households, families, often making about $23,000 a year. So they could be food bank clients if they aren't already. And we're connecting the produce they're producing to TMC and to other healthcare institutions. Buy local, invest local, improve people's diet and healthcare.
So outside the city of Tucson, how many other cities and counties are giving you support, direct financial support?
We get a little bit of support from a couple towns. So, everyone tries to do their best, whether it's the town of Marana, the town of Sarita, whether it's Cochise County. But the bulk of the government support, or Nogales, too, I don't want to leave out Santa Cruz County. Everyone does a little piece of what they can. Unfortunately, every municipality is struggling with their budget. We get it. We understand it. We don't expect them to be able to give us something from their general fund. And when they do, we're so appreciative, so grateful. So the city of Tucson is recommending a $50,000 investment to our Weekend Child Hunger program. So there are 2,000 kids today, this Friday, here in TUSD and other local schools getting a backpack full of pretty nutritious food, all five food groups, recipes that are really kid-friendly in English and Spanish, so that this weekend they can eat when their parents are at work.
If they didn't have that, there'd be big problems.
There are big problems. I mean, think about it. We're talking about health care for adults. When you're a kid and your body and your brain is growing and it needs the nutrient-dense foods, that's critical to our nation's success. Are we feeding the next generation of brain power, of innovation, of competitiveness? And it's as basic as that. We just need to improve our child hunger provision, because here in Southern Arizona, it's one in every four kids are suffering food insecurity. And that means that today they don't know, is their food being watered down? Is there a meal tomorrow or tonight? Is it being stretched thin just to have the family cope with all the household expenses?
All right, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation, Dylan Smith is here. Michael McDonald is here from the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona. But right now, I turn it over to my friend Tom Fairbanks with our Friday rock and roll bumper music. This is our little intermission music today. We're focusing one of my favorites, Neil Young.
I want to live, I want to give. I've been a miner for a heart of gold. It's these expressions I never give that keep me searching for a heart of gold. And I'm getting old.
What is it, boy? You want to go where? To the Humane Society's Putting on the Dog? It is the best event in Tucson. You're right, we should go.
Get your tickets to Tucson's best pet event, Putting on the Dog. Friday, May 6th from 6 to 9 at the Tucson Hilton El Conquistador. Food by Tucson Originals, live and silent auctions, great entertainment, and more. Tickets at hssaz.org/POD. All proceeds benefit the Humane Society of Southern Arizona.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal. And every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Don't Miss Business event of the season is here. The 2016 Better Business Bureau Torch Awards are May 5th at Casino del Sol Resort at 5:30 p.m. Join us for a celebration of the long history of Better Business Bureau in Southern Arizona as we honor this year's winners for their work in community service, customer excellence, and ethics. This spectacular dinner event is selling fast. Don't delay. Reserve your spot today and register at bbb.org/Tucson.
My life, I'm a lot like you. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. A little bit of Neil Young from the Harvest album, one of his big hits, Old Man. It's 12:21 on Buckmaster, our Friday Focus interview today. Michael McDonald is here. Mr. McDonald, the CEO and heads up the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona, which serves a lot of, well, pretty much all of Southern Arizona, including Pima, Cochise, Graham, Greenlee, and Santa Cruz counties. You know, in the rural area, Dylan Smith is here too. Thank you, Dylan,
you bet,
for coming in. Dylan from TucsonSentinel.com. When it comes to rural areas, and this is a very this radio station, thankfully, has a very strong signal going all the way to the New Mexico border, down to into Old Mexico, up to pretty much all the way up to Phoenix and Sky Harbor. So people listening right now could be very well listening in what are considered our rural areas. Food assistance can be incredibly important to these people.
Absolutely. You know, the USDA talks about food deserts in the city. It's if you live more than a mile from a grocery store, you are considered in a food desert. In the rural areas, more than 10 miles. Well, we've got folks who are living really scores and scores of miles from any kind of decent grocery store. And we have folks, for instance, in Bowie, Arizona, you don't have a whole lot of options about where to get food. You got to drive a long way.
You can buy a bag of chips in Bowie. Right?
You can buy, yes. And so when we do a distribution out in Bowie, we can only afford to do it once a month. And we have lots of people lining up. We do a lot of rural distributions, whether it's out of a church food pantry or a little civic group like a Rotary Club that opens up its doors, or we just do it alongside a road by a park because people are that much in need and that fragile.
Dylan.
A cynic could say that those people are just lining up for free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you, I guess, you know, counter that argument,
right,
that people should be out there, you know, I pay for my own food, I earn my own living, why should I be helping somebody else?
Yeah, and people saying, Michael, and I think, Dylan, this is where you're going to, that there should be no government assistance to the food bank. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know, I don't think too many people are going to wait 90 minutes in a hot sun on the side of a road for a couple bags worth of food, and as you suggested, Dylan, a lot of that's going to be non-perishable, not the best food in the world, or coming to a food bank and having to take umpteen bus rides to get there. Yeah, that is a concern. We hear it, that people think, oh, people are just taking advantage. You come wait in a food line, you probably won't do it more than once if really you're trying to scam. So there is that issue, and really it's that ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure. We're not getting a whole lot of money every single day for someone in need. Pennies. You know, and so it is not going to feed too many people if that's all the food assistance you get. And it's a huge effort. Like Bill said, a couple hundred agencies that are helping us out, thousands of volunteers Yeah, we're trying to get about 22 million meals worth of food out in southern Arizona. But the gap, we still have an 11 million meal gap every year. So people are still going hungry despite this huge rescue effort to stop that from happening. And then we're coming at it from another angle, too. I mentioned about people learning to grow food. We're having people make a living through the power of food. So we've got a culinary arts training program. We've got people starting food businesses, and we're supporting all that work because hunger relief is not doing it after 40 years. We're going to have to admit this is not working. Something's going to have to change, and it's about economic opportunity for all. And that's when I say, look, this national debate we're having about the role of government, let's turn it around and make it about economic opportunity for all. That's what this country was founded on, is like you had a chance this generation and the next to get better if you worked hard. And none of our folks at the food bank, most of them working families, want a handout. They just want a hand up. They want to have the American dream as accessible to them as it is for the privileged.
And you have this is a mostly volunteer organization. You're a salaried person and you have other salaried people, but it's top heavy. I don't know. Some may say, well, there's too much money going to management.
Right.
What do you say to those people?
Well, you know, definitely we need, this is a big food logistics operation and a community development, economic development operation. So we do need paid staff, but the paid staff are really more than doubled by all the thousands of volunteers. And we're basically taking 3 cents on a dollar donated to us and using it for management costs. So it's pretty lean, pretty efficient. We try to keep it lean. I appreciate all of our staff colleagues and board volunteers who put in a lot of hours to serve neighbors in need.
The letter carriers do their annual event that's coming up in May. The second, I think it will be then, May 14th?
May 14th. I think it's the second Saturday.
Yeah, second Saturday. Yeah. This is a time of year people think, well, it's the summertime, people are traveling, they're not thinking about really necessarily helping our other citizens. We think about it, obviously, at the times like Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Absolutely.
Not so much in the summer.
Yeah, I think childhood hunger is pretty severe in the summer just because they're out of school and they're not getting that free or reduced breakfast or lunch. And 1 in 4 kids in southern Arizona are suffering from food insecurity. So last year, and this is the 23rd National Letter Carriers Stamp Out Hunger Drive, and it is national and certainly in southern Arizona pretty successful event. Last year, we raised about 300,000 pounds of food. This year, the goal is 350,000 pounds. That'll get us through about midsummer to help people out.
So, what does that consist of?
You just leave food by your mailbox. The letter carriers,
put a bag of food.
Don't put any perishable food. So, we do need peanut butter, cereals, canned meats, anything that's got some protein and some
pretty good. You can stick on the shelf.
Anything you can stick on the shelf and that kids might like a lot. That would be really helpful.
All right, let's go to our live line. Matthew has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Matthew.
Hey, guys. Believe it or not, I was trying not to call. I got a lot of things going on personally. But I couldn't help but want to ask two questions. One, can you put a dollar figure as to what the city budget cut means, 30% or three cents, you said? What does the city allocate, and they want to do a 30% cut? Right now, what does the city allocate?
Yeah, it's thanks for the question. This last year was a pretty good year for us from the city, and it's a mix of federal pass-through dollars and some general fund dollars. And so when you add all that up, it's about a little over $200,000 this year that we received. We were originally allocated just $50,000. So it was a dramatic drop. I think the city staff...
So they're cutting you by $150,000.
Yes, but I think they're trying to really work to get it back in. So we're grateful for the work on that.
Yeah, and I'm not being critical of the city, but I'm going to just say a penny wise and a pound foolish because, this is a public safety issue. And if they don't realize that if you push families and you push people to the point that they have no option, they can't feed themselves, they're making these trade-offs every single day, like you said. Dylan, you don't need to be the protagonist for the Republicans or for whoever is saying that people are scamming the system. There is no scamming going on.
I was just setting up a big fat softball there.
I'm just being critical of you because you don't need to always search for that because they don't need any excuse. The people out there and the city council knows this. If they have to pull this out of the general fund, that's what they have to do. Because this, all they're going to do is change it over to police, and at way worse cost is people. If they can't feed their families, you know, they're going to find alternate ways of getting things.
All right.
Anyway,
thanks, Matthew.
Thank you. What you do.
Okay. Thanks, Matthew.
Quick question came in on my email, and folks can always email me at bill@buckmastershow.com. Question for you, Michael. What can faith-based organizations do to promote teaching self-sufficiency?
What a great question. We work with so many faith communities. They're donors. They are also opening up their campuses to feed people in need. And we're seeing a lot of faith communities now look at nutrition education and gardening. So how can we start to grow food together? How can fragile families stretch their food budget by producing some food? And you often have to do that in community because you have umpteen part-time jobs. And so we've got a lot of elders in the community with time on their hands, a lot to teach other folks. And so intergenerational food, growing food is happening here in Southern Arizona. So if you're interested, contact the Community Food Bank, communityfoodbank.org. Give us a call. We've got a gardening team, a farming team, and we'd love to have your church or synagogue help grow food for neighbors in need.
So you said there are how many gardens now programs that you have going on?
There are about 200 community gardens that we've helped incubate and get launched here in Metro Tucson, and about 50 school gardens. So kids are learning, you know, about math and sciences and how to work together in the garden, and they're eating better because if you grow kale, you might learn to like it,
or maybe not.
But at least you know more about it.
There you go. Do you still have a catering wing of the community food?
Yes, that is a great program. That's a program where people are rebooting their lives, all different ages, different walks of life. Some coming out of prison, some recovering addicts. They're just maybe first-time moms getting back into the workforce. They're learning how to prepare food and get a job in the food industry. We've got a 90% plus placement and retention rate a year out. The industry really needs these people. And while they're in our program, they're cooking food for kids at Boys and Girls Clubs every day and homeless soup kitchens with about 10 faith communities.
Do they do private parties?
Yes, we did. You know, thanks, Bill, for that. We did start a social enterprise, well, a catering gig.
I'm thinking maybe and, I need a catering
yeah,
for
we do.
Something.
We, so if you got a birthday party, a special event, holiday party, we've got a catering business. That is not donated food. That's food we purchase. It's a separate entity. But it
it's helping these people learn a skill, right?
Yep, yeah. And helps us grow our revenue.
And if folks want more information, that also can be obtained at communityfoodbank.org.
That's correct.
All right, Michael McDonald, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for coming in, and good luck with your enterprise.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Southern Arizona, for your support.
All right. Coming up at 12:32 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll ask Dylan to not go anywhere. Stick around for another
I'm never
minutes.
Leaving.
There you go. And we'll have our reporters roundtable, Mari Herreras, joining us on the from the Tucson Weekly. She's on the live line. We'll talk with her and Dylan about a few items that I have in mind right after the hear some more Neil Young.
Very good.
Well, that was a little bit of the After the Gold Rush album. That was not the track that I wanted to play for you, though. I wanted to play the part of the title track.
Look at Mother Nature on the run in the 1970s.
This is After the Gold Rush from the After the Gold Rush album. And when we come back from the commercial break, I'm going to play Prelude's a cappella version of this, which is really neat.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, plus Dr. Mark Sykes of the Planetary Science Institute. Buckmaster Live, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, with live streaming, podcasts, and our show archive at buckmastershow.com.
Well, I dreamed I saw the knights in armor come and saying something about a queen. There were peasants singing and drummers drumming.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Tom Fairbanks selecting a little bit of After the Gold Rush. But who is this performing, Tom?
This is an all-female group called Prelude.
Very much. I like it very much. Doing, of course, the Neil Young.
Yeah, and I apologize for botching poor Neil's opening. I thought I had it cued to After the Gold Rush, and I actually had it cued to the first song on the album, which was not After the Gold Rush.
Oh, well.
And in the meantime, I apparently tripped all over you guys. You were trying to explain to Dylan what your trip itinerary was going to be like, and I had already cut you off, so...
Oh, my goodness.
So you had been talking into a dead mic while I was playing Neil Young.
All right. But did that go over the air?
No.
Oh, good.
No.
I was talking to Dylan about, some personal business there. But it's not too personal. I mean,
well, you're not going to be here. People should know where you are.
Yeah, it's going away on vacation to kind of unusual places. Madeira, which is a Portuguese-owned island. That's where the wine, the port comes from. And then down to the Canary Islands off of the coast of Africa. So should be very interesting.
That sounds like a nice little trip.
Yep. All right. Mari Herreras is with us on the live line from the Weekly. Mari, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mari, before we talk about some of the other big stories of the week, the Tucson Weekly cover story, Maria did this one. Terracena, is that right?
Maria Ines Terracena.
The story looking at the efforts to legalize marijuana in Arizona. Well, the so-called weed advocates have the same dream of abolishing the prohibition on marijuana, but these folks just can't seem to get along, can they?
No, that's been happening for quite some time. They started off sitting down together as one group, and then that disintegrated, and they've gone on to they're doing their own thing, which probably in the end may not necessarily help their cause. Breaking up into different initiatives, but right now it looks like there's probably going to be two that will see the light of day. And come before voters, but no, they just weren't agreeing on several of the issues that were part of the legalization effort.
So it seems like that has a real potential to, if you're in favor of this, I guess your point of view would be that it would sabotage the effort, that people would be divided between these two competing propositions, and perhaps neither of them passes.
Right, exactly. I think we see that with other things that come up when groups start to fight with each other. It usually ends up not helping the cause to begin with. I think with this, in this case, there was some intervention, folks that tried to get them to sit down and come together so they could be one unified initiative, but that just didn't happen. They felt their differences were too strong, and they still, people persevered and went about the two different initiatives.
Is there one burning issue, pun completely intended, that divides these two groups? What are they squabbling about?
I think it's one is more looking at regulating this, like we regulate alcohol, and the other is looking at taxes and possession and the whole thing of licensing. So it's more like the other one is a little more conservative. That's the Arizona for mindful regulation. I'd say the other one, campaign to regulate marijuana like alcohol, is a little looser, and looking at it like we regulate beer or vodka, things like that.
All right, 790-2040. Ingrid would like to weigh in on this conversation with Mari Herreras from The Weekly and Dylan Smith from Tucson Sentinel. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Good afternoon. I was going to ask you to distinguish between the two initiatives and also to ask you how you feel about people smoking marijuana in your vicinity, and you're having to inhale the smoke and it thusly getting into your bloodstream and affecting your body chemistry.
Mari, do you want to take a stab at that?
Well, I guess as someone who's been to many a concert in my lifetime, I've not necessarily had any experience of getting high sitting near smoke, where you could smell it, but I've never had anything like that happen where I've gotten high as a result of that. Secondhand high, yeah. I think depending on the situation, if it's outdoors, I don't think I'm as bothered by it because the smoke tends to dissipate a little bit more. Indoors, I think I'd have probably more of an issue if it was really strong.
Well, if we apply the same regulations to smoking marijuana in public that we apply to smoking tobacco in public, that would, in most cases, not be an issue. You're not out in a public place with anybody smoking a cigarette these days.
Yeah, and before we move on to something else, Ingrid also wondered about the two groups. I think she was trying to get at, do they agree on how much? Do the two groups agree that what amount would be legal?
I believe the Arizonans for Mindful Regulation, if I can recall correctly, an adult is allowed 1 ounce possession, and in different forms, because it's more than it comes down, more than just the leaves or the flower, as folks.
Once it's in some brownies, it's kind of hard to.
Right.
just 1 ounce of a brownie is not a very impressive brownie.
Charles Heller just emailed me. That's very cool, Charles. Charles says, well, if it's legalized, won't they all just mellow out? So the two.
the other initiative is the same. It's also 1 ounce of possession.
Okay, so it's 1 ounce.
Right.
All right, so I guess maybe they'll come together and mellow out if.
Would think that would have happened already.
Speaking of mellowing out, what was that, Tom, that Ingrid wanted to say something more? Ingrid, yes, go ahead.
Yes, just quickly. When you're exposed to it indoors, it does actually get into your bloodstream. It affects the pressure in your eyes. It is measurable in your blood. If you get stopped by for a traffic stop, for instance, it will show up on a test.
Okay.
It does impact your health, and it is a very serious issue, especially in apartment dwellings.
All right. Thank you, Ingrid. Have a great weekend. Okay, mellowing out, David Gowan, the House Speaker. I don't know.
Perhaps he had a sit-down with some lobbyists.
It's very interesting. When I read the comments of the governor, I think it was Monday, he was saying, I've got no problems with the media.
I like these people.
Yeah, these are good people. Nobody's, he's never had any problems. And it wasn't.
Well, he certainly has his problems, but he understands why and what the process is.
Yeah, problems.
We ask him questions he doesn't like,
and
he gives us answers that we don't like.
Problems from a safety point of view.
The way most politicians have with
the
media.
But it's interesting because was it like less than 24 hours before David Gowan said, maybe I'll back off, and I will back off.
Yeah, this all started last Thursday when the State House essentially kicked all the reporters off the floor of the chamber, saying they had to agree to have some background checks done on them, which was targeting a reporter who has done some reporting that the Speaker of the House didn't quite like, and in fact ended up costing him thousands and thousands of dollars that he had to pay back to taxpayers.
$12,000, I believe.
Basically conducting his congressional campaign using state of Arizona resources, which is something he should not have been doing. He didn't like that, so he basically got rid of all the reporters who had to go sit upstairs and watch at a distance where they couldn't question people.
Are there new credentials that they will issue to them? Are they more stringent?
They didn't dial things back so much that they are getting back the access badges that they used to have where they could come and go and go into offices and speak with the legislators in their offices and all that. Now they have to sign in as they come and go, and their access is restricted to the floor. At least they're back there on the floor in the place where they have been for decades, where they can buttonhole a legislator and ask them, what's up with that vote? Why'd you do that?
Roberta has called us. I don't know if Roberta wants to revisit the marijuana issue, but let's find out what she would like to say. Roberta, you're on with Dylan, Mari, and Bill. Go ahead, Roberta.
Well, thank you. You know me. That's the issue I would like to address.
I thought you wanted to revisit it. Go ahead.
Okay, everybody's tolerance threshold is different, and at least 15% of the people exposed to marijuana smoke would be affected by it, and some made very ill by it.
Mm.
Well, I think that could be the case, Roberta, when you get cigarette smoke, you know, when you're near someone who's a smoker, people have different levels of tolerance for that as well in terms of the smoke bothering them or the things that are in the smoke. There's definitely, I would say, similar to cigarettes, that it's some folks have a high tolerance and can sit next to someone smoking a cigarette, and some people can't do it at all, which is understandable.
So there are so very few places where this happens. You can't smoke at a bar. You can't smoke
right.
in a restaurant. You can't smoke in any public building.
Right.
You can do it outside on a patio if it's away from the front entrance. There are places where that's allowed.
And that's the same thing that's going to be with this situation as well. It's not, people aren't going to all of a sudden be at your neighborhood restaurant smoking a joint next to your family. Going to be allowed.
I don't see a big deal there, and really, I got to be honest, I hate the smell of pot. I think it smells like the decade-old filthy socks of hippies. I can't stand it. I think it's gross.
Goodness.
It's not my thing, but
I'm
really not worried about sitting down at a restaurant and having somebody spark one up at the next table. It's not going to happen.
Well, we can assume, Dylan, you will be a no vote if those two.
Well, you know, I don't really care if anybody else, you know. I certainly like to sit down with a nice tumbler of scotch. You know, that's my vice.
I know you do.
Everybody's got, you know, well, I don't, not everybody. Well, most people have a vice that they enjoy, and that would be mine. So I'm not going to criticize anybody else.
All right.
My problem.
All right, Dylan, thank you very much for coming in.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend. Mari, thanks for being on the line with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's nice to talk with you guys.
All right. Mari Herreras from the Tucson Weekly. She's the editor there and could not come into the studio. She's very busy putting the issue together, and we appreciate her at least taking some time on the phone. We'll be back with our Friday Weekend Watch with Matt Russell right after this.
Now you're crossing.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.? Well,
flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. What if you could see tomorrow? At Biosphere 2, being at the forefront of scientific discovery and innovation is our goal. And every Saturday during April, Biosphere 2 will present expert talks and have science activities focusing on Earth Month. What if presentations include a Nobel Prize-winning climate professor, Oceans Day, and wild jaguars in Arizona? Tours daily and more info at biosphere2.org.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Amma Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Here we go with the weekend. When I hear that music, I know the weekend has officially begun here in Southern Arizona. Inside Tucson Business, food and beverage columnist, award-winning Tucson publicist, Mr. Matt Russell, is our host of Weekend Watch, brought to us by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. What a great weekend trip this makes. Just 3 hours east of Tucson to the beautiful Mile High elevation. Mild days, cool nights in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, and the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Celebrate the 100 year, the centennial of the National Park System by checking out that beautiful location. Great places to stay like Georgetown Cabins and Bear Creek Cabins. The full listing of places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Here he is. He is ready for the weekend. As always, Matt Russell. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. You know, Bill, all this talk about brownies is making me pretty hungry, but I'll stick with the unleaded version, really.
Oh, well, my goodness. Yeah.
It really is a spectacular day to try to get out of work a bit early and get yourself to happy hour at the Independence Distillery downtown on Arizona Avenue. Now, in addition to their progressive cocktails, they have a separate list of house-made punches served in vessels large enough for two. Now, if I were to pick my own punch, I'd go with the one that has whiskey, dry vermouth, lemon juice, homemade grenadine, and champagne. Let the weekend begin at the Independent Distillery.
They've got some great mixologists over there, don't they?
Some of the best in the business.
How about, what am I hearing now about Charo? The El Charo people have a steakhouse?
They do. You know, a lot of the buzz in the foodie sphere this weekend is all around the opening of Charo Steak, downtown 188 East Broadway. Now, Ray Flores, the guy behind El Charo and Cervezas, has taken the art and style of the steakhouse and kind of married it with the soul and story of Mexico. And Charo Steak is serving up some killer cuts of beef in what they call a ranch-to-table spirit. I have my eye on the 14-ounce ribeye, Bill, with smoked manchego cheese and charred chilies. That's Charo Steak. I'll be checking it out this weekend.
I love that. Ranch to table. I got that steak right in front of me. I know it's right from the ranch. I love
That's
that.
Fun.
All right. How about the new spring menu? Is it Commoner and Company?
Yeah, the new season has introduced a lot of fun new flavors at Commoner on Sunrise and Cold, and the new menu makes its debut this weekend. How about some duck confit empanadas to start, Bill, followed by Chef Ginny Wooter's world-famous fried chicken with dehydrated strawberries and house-made biscuits and a bacon fat gravy. Now, a leg, a thigh, and a breast take this dish over the top And I'll expect Commoner and Co. to be busy this weekend for sure.
Why did I suspect Bacon would somehow get into the weekend watch? It usually makes the weekend watch conversation somewhere, and it was there at Commoner and Company. What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business this week?
Yeah, well, Bill, what happens when a group of local firefighters takes a stab at brewing beer? Sound the sirens. You can read this three-alarm story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson.
Good weekend to you, Matt. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Buckmaster Show, just part of a great lineup of 5 hours that we do here during the week of local talk with weekend. The weekend is just jam full of local talk. Great shows Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, Charles Heller hosting one of my favorites, Swap Shop. What a great brand. The Swap Shop train is a-comin'. You can buy, sell, trade, pretty much, as Charles says, anything that is lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, operations manager and my producer engineer 4 days a week, Ray Allen, Mr. and Mrs. Martin, the owners, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Jerry Cross, my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, we all wish you a safe and happy weekend.